Hello, my name is Brian Novoselsky, and welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. Today, we're joined by Matt Sample and Neil Cooper from Cencora. Sample is the Senior Vice President of Manufacturer Quality and Replenishment Operations, while Cooper is Vice President of Regulatory Affairs and Quality Systems at American Health Packaging, a subsidiary of Cencora's Health Systems and Government Services business. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Good to be here.
Awesome. So today we're going to be discussing the FDA revising the national drug code format and drug label barcode requirements, going from 10-digit NDCs to a uniform 12-digit format. So we'll really be diving into the kind of weeds about what this rollout will look like. So Matt and Neil, to start, can you briefly just explain what this update is and why it is needed?
Yeah, I'll try to be as brief as I can. So FDA is intending to move to a uniform 12-digit format for their NDC numbers that has a 642 structure. So that's a 6-digit labeler code, a 4-digit product code, and then a 2-digit packaging code. So today we have traditionally a 10-digit NDC number that comes in a variety of formats, whether that's 442, 532, and other formats that come out there. And they're trying to transition this to everybody goes to the same system and everybody is uniform across all products. The second reason, and probably a little more simplistically, is we're running out of labeler codes. With only 5 digits, there's a limited number of those, and the transition to 6 solves that capacity problem.
Awesome. Easy enough. Perfectly said. Obviously, yeah, so more drugs coming through the marketplace, and obviously there is a need, and we'll definitely dive into that. The FDA clearly states that the new rule only impacts FDA-assigned NDCs. What does this mean for pharmacies, and what other NDC formats exist that might make this change a little bit more confusing for pharmacists?
Yeah, I'll take that one. I think if you're a pharmacist, especially an independent or a small retail setting, the biggest question is going to be what systems and what third parties do you use that utilizes the NDC code? And I say that there's multiple fronts. There's the dispensing, which everybody thinks of, the barcode scanning, but also the adjudication, because when the FDA said this is only impacting our labeler codes, not other formats, well, it is impacting the other formats. And really the other format they're talking about is the industry created an 11-digit NDC code so that we could do all the financial backends between reimbursement, insurance, adjudication, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So in going to a 12, you are going to impact the 11. And so the other piece of that is it's not just about the dispensing or the barcode or what's on the label. The other piece is what systems or what third parties do you have, or what are your wholesalers doing for you? You need to go back to them and say, hey, are you ready for this? Are you aware of this? How are you planning to handle this new 12-digit NDC code in anything and everything that touches NDC?
Right on. Awesome. Yeah. As we'll get into, it is this gradual push throughout a 7-year period. But at the end of the day, like, it's definitely something for pharmacies, pharmacy businesses, and pharmacists to keep an eye out, understand that it's coming and that they really need to get a grasp on it sooner rather than later. Better safe than sorry type of thing. So the conversion to 12 digits involves adding leading zeros to labeler, product, or package code segments. From a clinical safety perspective, what risks do you see in this formatting change, and what internal safeguards can or should be implemented to ensure accurate drug identification?
Yeah, so I'll jump in here. So I don't think it's going to necessarily create a clinical problem, a clinical safety problem, but it is definitely going to create a logistical problem, right? The drug product that's going to be contained in that is still going to be the same. So it'll have the same therapeutic value. But from a logistics standpoint, adding a few zeros sounds like a pretty simple activity. But to Matt's point, all of these computerized systems that utilize that number in any way, we don't know how they're going to behave. Are they going to ignore those leading zeros? Are they going to drop those leading zeros? And then you run the risk of misidentification of product. And that could have a downstream patient impact if those systems aren't carefully managed and ready to support this 12-digit number with the leading zeros.
Yeah, I think I'll add again, Neil said it right. The clinical element's not the bigger concern. Other than you could get to the point where you're showing up for a prescription and all of a sudden the pharmacy systems aren't working. Or maybe you can get it dispensed, but you can't get it adjudicated. You can't get it paid for. So there's that. Probably the biggest risk is not the drug in front of the patient. I can't get it to them because the systems don't work. I think that's our biggest risk, and it's across the board. I mean, if I can't ship the drug to a pharmacy, they don't have to worry about dispensing it because it's still sitting on my shelf.
Yeah, it could impact the purchasing, inventory control, payer systems, potentially 340B implications. There's a lot of things that touch this, and even dispensing to the patient. If the barcode scan doesn't work for what we do at AHP, we have a bedside scan in hospital systems. And if all of that information can't be read by the computer system that houses it, it's going to create real problems to deliver the medication where it needs to go.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys bringing kind of those things up. Obviously, it's going to be a big like administrative, that technology aspect of it all is going to be very important. And Matt, the last time you were on, we talked about DSCSA. That's kind of in a similar vein as far as like keeping all the systems in place and whatnot. And that's another law that's taken so long to roll out. And this seems quite similar. Obviously, like it's definitely never too early to have these conversations. So the FDA, like I said, with this rollout, the FDA has established a 7-year preparation period before the 12-digit NDC format becomes mandatory. What specific steps should pharmacy leadership take now to ensure their systems and infrastructure are fully updated by the effective date?
Yeah, I think two things. One, I said it before, I think they need to reach out to their wholesaler, their primary conduit to the drug supply chain, and make sure that those wholesalers are engaging in those conversations. The second, if they are part of industry groups or if they're part of a co-op, see what types of efforts those industry groups or trade groups are doing to become part of the coalition of the willing, if you will. Because one of the things that the requirement is simple. All of our systems need to be able to support a 10, 11, and 12-digit NDC code at the same time. The problem is, what does that standard look like that we all would implement? And so we need our trade groups and we need these industry groups to get together. And it's bigger than DSCSA. DSCSA, you have the wholesalers and manufacturers driving it. Now you've got to get into the payers, the providers, the PBMs. And again, the best way to do that probably is through the trade groups. So the pharmacy entities need to be trying to do whatever they can with whatever context they have to say, hey, NCPDP, which is more of a standards group, but are you doing something in this space? NACDS, are you guys talking to ACA? Are you talking to the payer provider trade groups about how to do this? Because the FDA is not going to come out and publish a how-to guide. They're not going to publish standards. It's going to be up to the industry. And unlike DSCSA, where the industry was relatively simple, manufacturer, wholesaler, dispenser, this thing's huge.
Yeah, it's way bigger than DSCSA from an impact standpoint.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. So yeah, obviously if that's true, obviously we'll see it roll out in these next few years, but if kind of the organizations that Matt had mentioned, like if they're not having those conversations, it could get passed down to the greater industry to raise those concerns and really come together and be interoperable as far as implementing this and making sure that nothing slips through the cracks throughout these next 7 years. Awesome. So drugs labeled with 10, so looking back at some of the older NDC formats and how they'll really converge in the coming years, drugs labeled with 10-digit NDCs that enter commerce after March 7, 2036 may be subject to regulatory action. What inventory management strategies will be necessary to ensure that older 10-digit stock is depleted or managed appropriately before this final deadline?
Yeah, so this good news, bad news here, right? The good news is that we have 7-year runway to implement this and fix this problem. The bad news is that we only have 7 years of runway to implement and solve this problem. And DSCSA took a lot longer than 7 years. So I don't think the risks that organizations are going to face are going to be in the end state. It's going to be in the transition. If industry and companies underestimate how impactful this could be, and delay starting the project and the work, it's going to be a significant issue for them to solve down the road. There's going to be a time where we have transition of both 10-digit NDC product and 12-digit NDC product for the same exact material in the marketplace because of expiration datings and the rollout of this. And those systems need to be able to handle both of those and know the difference when it comes to managing inventory and administration to patients. And if manufacturers and distributors and pharmacies don't get ahead of it, it's dangerous.
Yeah, and I think one, break it up, the manufacturers, I joke, they have the easiest job. It feels basically a manufacturer, right?
Yep.
You're going to plan out your label revisions and then you'll make the change. What worries me is they give you this 3-year phase-in window. I think we did, using DSCSA data, it's a great source of information. I think 25% of all the products on my shelves expire in 4 or 5 weeks. So if you have something sitting there the day before the phase-in period that's still got 4 years dating left, what happens to those products? Because they may not get used in that 3-year phase-in. And this is where we do need to engage, we being the collective industry, with the FDA, say, do we want to be in the mode of taking drugs off the market or out of the market if they, after 3 years of phasing in this new 12-digit, they still have the 10? And so there's a lot of open questions about that. And it is going to be very challenging because you've got 500 prescription drug manufacturers on different schedules. And if the comment I made earlier, if we all don't get our systems able to handle the 10, 11, or 12, it's going to be hodgepodge. And we're going to have certain manufacturers that are ahead, and their products may still flow. Some of the smaller generics may not. And so those are the concerns of how do you synchronize this whole industry to keep product moving and also not throw product away when you have this 4 or 5 year dating.
Yeah. To Matt's point, as a manufacturer, I won't say that we have it the easiest, but we're the first link in that chain and that we're going to have to solve for this probably more quickly than some of the downstream partners are. So we may be having to update packaging lines, update all of our systems from an inventory management perspective, certainly. And then that has to trickle down into all the distribution channels. And FDA at this point has put forth the requirement. They've given us the guardrails. So what collective industry, including pharmacies, need to do now is ask for some guidance as to how FDA is going to help us. Are we going to have a phased approach where manufacturers have to go by a certain date, distributors have to go by a little bit later date? Those are the pieces that we just don't know right now. The only thing we have are the 2033, 2036 dates that are out there. So we're going to have to get some extra information from FDA on this. And what does regulatory action mean? But to Matt's point, we have 25% of our products in the marketplace. Are they going to remove them? Is it considered misbranded or adulterated in some capacity from an FDA perspective because of the NDC number differences? I think we just don't know that. And FDA is going to have to help us out a little bit, figure out what that means.
Awesome. Perfectly said. Yeah. Obviously, in the very preliminary stages of what this is, what this means for the greater industry. But I really appreciate you guys adding some nuance to what it may look like and touching on those important questions that are definitely going to need to be addressed. But at the end of the day, this is a necessary kind of action that everyone's going to have to come together on and facilitate, if you will. I really appreciate you guys joining me today. I just have one more question, more so to wrap up this conversation, put a bow on it. But and I know you guys touch on some of the things that pharmacists can do, but wanted to just say, what else can pharmacists and pharmacy businesses be doing right now that you guys may not have touched on to ensure they're safe from regulatory action as this gradual shift to 12 digits rolls out over the next 7 years?
Yeah, I guess there's two things. The comment about the regulatory action, and hopefully as part of DSCSA, they did this. They inventoried their systems. They understood what was impacted again. Systems are using, what processes are impacted. You have it documented. Start inventorying where the impact will be. Once you identify that, then you can identify who you can engage with to address it. The other nugget I want to call out that is also, this is not just pharmacy. This is also front of the store because OTC products are impacted as well. And so I just raise that as, again, why DSCSA is about this big in podcast, right? DSCSA is small compared to the size of this. Because once you start talking OTC, those could be completely different systems, completely different barcode scanners. And don't forget about that. Because I think, honestly, I think the human prescription side is going to be challenging enough. I think OTC will be twice as hard.
Yeah, awesome. I 100% agree.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me today. Obviously, something that we're all going to keep an eye on as this happens. And as things arise, as FDA could make announcements and everyone's going to have to come together. I really appreciate you guys joining and definitely we'll tap into you guys as we see developments roll out in the future. So thank you so much.
Yeah,
you're welcome. No problem.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.